and through him to reconcile all things unto himself, making peace through the blood of his cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We have in our sanctuary today two very different images of our Lord. One showing him in a full regalia, reigning over as a king over all nations. And of course, as usual, we have him as the dying sacrifice on the cross. And these two images are sometimes, for non-Catholics, somewhat difficult to reconcile or to make put together. How come our Lord came to suffer so much and take our sins away, and then at the same time he's pictured as a ruler, as a judge, as a divine distributor of justice to all nations? A king is by necessity someone who rules over nations, and king is also one who has the authority to punish his subjects. This feast of Christ the King is a very Catholic one. In my country and other Protestant nations, the last Sunday of October coincides with so-called Reformation Sunday, when they remember or celebrate the happenings of 500 years ago, when the reformers took the numerous souls away from the fold of Christ's Church. And by presenting our Lord as King of all nations, our Church wants to give a very concrete reminder that she wants all nations to return, to convert, to be taken back to the flock of Christ. She doesn't curse them or abandon them to their misery. But no, today we again consecrate the whole human race to the sacred heart of Jesus and under the servitude of Christ the King. We pray for the Islamists and for the Jews and the people of all the false religions, that they would abandon their error and come back under the guidance and rule of this good king, that they would abandon the chains of the world, the world which can never give them true peace, but always offers either only false peace or a peace which leads them to damnation. So these two images of our Lord, him as a king and as a loving sacrifice for our sins, they can be often understood better if we compare them in our own lives. Your children might learn by the experience that your parents will sometimes get very angry to you if you break against the rules or do something which is forbidden. And the loving parents, those who usually are very kind and happy and supporting to you, they suddenly start to rebuke you. And they're telling that no, what you did was wrong, and you are not allowed to do that. So when we present to the whole world our Lord, both as a loving sacrifice and as a ruler of nation, we offer them both the chance for redemption, but also we give them warning that one day he will execute his full power of ruling and also punishing all the nations. One great prefigure or example of prefiguration from the scriptures we read from the time when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. Moses retired to the mountain and spent much time there consulting with God and learning from him and receiving the law which all people were bound to follow. But while he was doing this important mission, the people grew impatient. Even though they knew that Moses had done such great things for them, now they started to mutiny and said that Moses has abandoned us, retired to solitude, and left us high and dry. So their very unfortunate solution was to create their own God. They took all their valuables, molted a calf, a golden calf, and set an altar to this idol, and started to worship that, exclaiming, "These are thy gods, O Israel, that have brought thee out of the land of Egypt." This they did not only because of their impatience, but also their weakness in faith, and because of their love of sensuality. And when Moses came back from the mountain and saw people dancing and worshipping this idol, his whole exterior changed. We read from the Holy Scripture that the character of Moses was calmness itself. It says that Moses was the meekest of all men living on earth. But when he saw people do something which hurt the glory of God, the holy zeal was enkindled in him. He severely rebuked his own dear Aaron of yielding to the wicked desires of the people. And then, standing in the gate of the camp, this once very meek and peaceful Moses proclaimed, "If any man be on the Lord's side, let him join with me." And he gathered the troops loyal to him and ordered them to take their swords and slay every man who was practicing idolatry. Moses then, from the meek pastor, had become a fierce ruler, a fierce warrior of God, who, even though he loved his nation over everything, could never allow them to sin, could never allow them to hurt the glory and reign of Almighty God. But also, the same Moses who executed a punishment for a crime, he also was a great intercessor between the sinful nation and God. Because Moses again ascended the mountain and earnestly entreated the Lord for his ungrateful people. The Lord said that this nation has sinned so severely that I will destroy all of them and I will make a new good nation from you, Moses. But still, Moses insisted. You can see that he was almost arguing with God, because even though he loved God more than anything, he still, in his heart, wanted so much his own sinful nation to repent and to return to God. So Moses insisted, saying, "I beseech thee, Lord, this people hath sinned. Either forgive them this trespass, or if thou do not, strike me out of the book that thou hast written." So you see, no matter how how zealous Moses was in punishing of nations, he was even more zealous of pleading forgiveness for them. That he had a great chance to get rid of all the wicked people and then start a new holy nation. But instead he said that if I could do so without sin, I would renounce eternal life rather than that this whole people should perish. So, dear faithful, today, when we again consecrate our brethren, our whole human race, to Sacred Heart of Jesus, we remember our Lord both as a divine ruler and king who will one day punish them, but we today act as holy Moses did, plead for forgiveness. We plead for God that he would grant still more time for every single man to repent and return to the fold of Christ. Those weak people of Israel in the desert were like all the weak people now in the world. They were most ungrateful and faithless to God. God had given them such great riches and protection and graces, and still they did this horrible sin of idolatry. It's the righteous anger which enkindled Moses to punish his nation, but also it was love for his neighbor and love for his nation that he pleaded for their cause. And even though our Lord is the supreme ruler who could punish and destroy every single one of us without injustice if he wanted, we still see him as a humble, loving sacrifice, hanging on the cross, pleading and waiting for his Father, that instead of wicked sinners and ungrateful people, every single man would become like a true subject of his kingdom, to give him worship as the only true God and the only source of all good. Dear faithful, I am sure that you detest the ingratitude and faithlessness of the modern nations. But also today, look into your own heart and seek of your conscience and see, have you also at time to time been ungrateful and faithless? Remember, what did you promise when you were baptized and when you renewed your baptismal vows? Have you kept your promises? Or have you sometimes, like people of Israel, broken against God and forget the graces and promises he has given you? Do you not know that mortal sin is an infinite ingratitude towards our Christ the King, and how even venial sin give him something which is unworthy of in his subject? Just think how weak and wavering you are. So never trust in yourself, never trust in your own power, but pray humbly for God's grace, and especially for the grace of perseverance. As Moses loved his people, pray also for your own nation. Pray for all the nations of the world, that they may abandon their idols and confess only Christ the King as their true ruler and as their true source of good. No matter how much the world preaches love for your neighbor, the world can never teach you to worship your King, your Christ, true King. We show gratitude for our King by often coming to sacraments and by fulfilling your duties in family and in the church, and by your humble intercession and your pleading for the cause for your nation. Christ the King will give your nation as well more chances, more time to repent. You all should be faithful subjects in humility, that you confess your sins, and in charity to your neighbor, wanting to evangelize your nation and bring everyone under the ruling of Christ the King. Today's the day to pray for your nation. Today's the day to remember your own unworthiness. And today is the day when we truly give God his true title, Christ the King, without whom all of us would justly perish, but instead that same Christ has died on the cross as a loving sacrifice of the forgiving of all our mistakes, and who welcomes us in his full regalia in the heavenly home after we have passed from this earthly world. God bless. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.